through 4. Amen. Sometimes with these slides, it's a challenge to know what's actually going to show up with the way that it looks, because it doesn't look the exact same on the screen here as it will up here. So we thank the Lord. It looked like I got the right one this time. Amen. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 4. Amen. Do you have it? Amen. As I was looking at this, you don't have to stand. I'll get into it in a minute. But as I was looking at a lot of different things, it's a perplexing time that we're in, because it seems like on every hand we have something to be fearful of, or something that we're dealing with, something that is hitting us from out of the blue. And what I'm talking about, and I know we all have individual things, but I'm talking about on the bigger scale things. It seems like every time you turn on the news, there's been some shooting, some innocent person has been shot. I think day before yesterday, they were saying that it was 9 youths that were shot in one day. And then last night, I think my wife was just telling me this morning that there were 4 other youth shootings between 4 in the morning and early today. And so we look at that, and then we look at economy is going crazy, and gas is going up, and everything, it just seems to be going haywire, and everybody is looking for an answer. Everybody's looking for an answer. And then we have our own individual. Hello. We got stuff on the great scale that's affecting everybody that's getting us scared. And then we got our own stuff to deal with. And so everybody, and I want to tie some stuff in. I'm not really going to talk about the election per se, but it does relate to that in a certain way. Because the catchword now for everybody, I guess Obama kind of got the ball rolling, but everybody's kind of doing it because that's what everybody's feeling. Change. We need change. We need something to go differently than what it is. And so what I really saw is that everybody is, we can laugh, we can joke, we can try to have a good time, but really what's really in everybody's heart is we need something to change. And so so as I was meditating on the word for today, that we really need to look at, what is the answer? We have the government that says, well, we need to crack down on guns, and we need to crack down on drugs, and maybe it's if we put more metal detectors in the schools, maybe that's the answer. Maybe if we have resume curfew. Hello, they got curfew, but if the parents can't keep the children in, how is the curfew, you know, come on. And so the whole thing is everybody's looking for an answer, but here's the thing. Do we really know what the question is? Hello. We know what the problem is, or we think we know what the problem is. And so we want an answer, but do we really know what the real question is? Because if we're not asking the right questions, we can never come with the right answer. Amen. You got Second Timothy 3:1-4. And it says what? It says this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That means trouble, y'all. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So now, the problem that's going on here, and, you know, not to mention, and I just really just talked about you know, some stuff that's going on here, but you got stuff overseas. You got, they're now talking about the stuff that's been going on in Darfur and other regions of Africa and other things. And then you got Iraq, and then you got, where's that other place? Afghanistan. You got stuff going on over in Tibet, or is it Tibet, or Thailand? Thailand. You got all that. You got stuff going on everywhere. But here's the thing. Haiti everywhere. Here's the thing. God knew all this stuff was going to happen. And so he has told us beforehand that it was going to happen. He told us in Matthew 24, he said that there will be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, there will be earthquakes in various diverse places. Hello, somebody. Hello. And so we didn't have anything nowhere near Los Angeles and the rest of that, but you know, Chicago is not known for stuff to be moving. Hello. And so, you know, it's a lot of things that are making us fearful only because we don't really understand and know what's going on, why is it going on, and then what's the answer. Anything that shakes up our comfort causes us to be knocked off of our square, as the young people say it. You know, it takes us out of our comfort, out of our element, and so then we become fearful and we look for an answer. Everybody say an answer. And so as we're looking for an answer, we need to be careful that while we're looking for an answer, we don't take every answer. Hello? Because when we get fearful enough, when we get mentally bogged down enough, when we are emotionally constrained to the point where now we're starting to feel the pain in our emotions, we will then grab for any answer available. Not every answer is the right answer. But look at here. Look, he says in the last days there shall be perilous times. They shall come. And here's the whole thing. We're looking for individual things, and so we're trying to come up with all these individual answers to what needs to happen. Now, I want to say this. A lot of the answers that we come up with to try to deal with the problems at hand, they are good. Some of them are good. Some of them are necessary. Some, you know, if you got drugs in a neighborhood, you do need to try to come up with something to stop the drugs. But what I want you to know today by the end of the message is that while we are coming up with individual answers towards individual things, we need to realize that is not the ultimate answer. That is an answer, but that's not the whole answer to the whole problem. Here is the real problem. He says in the last days, these type of people, this kind of stuff is going to be characteristic of the times. He says there shall be what? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now they're actually, because of that, all the rest of that follows. Because men, that means mankind, not just men and gender, but mankind. For mankind should be lovers of their own selves. And if you're lovers of your own selves, it will cause you to be covetous. Because if you love yourself more than you love God, you'll try to grab everything for yourself because you don't think that there's any boundaries. And then if I love myself, of course, I'm going to put myself first and I'm going to boast about some stuff, even some stuff I haven't even done. Hello. Proud, blasphemers. I blaspheme because I am my own God. God isn't God. I'm my own God. I'm going to be disobedient to parents. I'm not going to follow those who have tried to help me and God has set to help me in the way that I should go. I'm going to try to plan my own way. I'm going to be unthankful. Why? Because if I'm proud, I think that I deserve some stuff. So I shouldn't feel that you've done something, you've done a favor for me. You did only what I am deserving of. So I'm not even thankful when you help me. Hello. Unholy because I'm not set apart for God's use. I'm set apart for my own use. without natural affection. You wonder how some mothers can then just drown their own children, leave their own children just in garbage cans and all the rest of that. And it seems like if nobody else would be there, mama would be there. And so this is just a epidemic, but it is what God has already saw was going to happen. Why? Not because God wanted it, but because man has turned away from God and we become lovers of our own selves without natural affection, truth breakers. You can't trust nobody's word. They said they were going to be there. They said they were going to help you. But then when it became inconvenient, hello, move on and I'll find the next thing. Truth breakers, false accusers, they'll lie on you. Hello, incontinent, not talking about bodily, but talking about they have no substance, nothing to hold them together, meaning not having integrity. We're living in a time where it seems like, I can only... Now, it seems so long ago, I can only take older people's word for it, that there used to be a time where a handshake and a man's word was his bond and you made deals on a word. Oh, no. You better have something written down in triplicates, put it in the safe deposit box, and then you still not guaranteed that you're going to win even if you go on Judge Mathis. Hello. And so people have no integrity. They're incontinent. They're fierce. And if you come after something that they want, they will cut you for it. Hello. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of, see, there it is. It's sandwiched in again. He lets us know why all these things. They are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I want what I want. I don't care what God says. I want what I want. This is the real problem with what's going on. Not just in America, but in everywhere. Hello? What? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of that godliness. Having a form of, I want to be spiritual, but not following the spirit of spirits, which is God. Hello. And so he says, from such turn away. Now we got to minister to them, but that for such turn away, that means don't follow their example. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. Well, no, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But with all this going on, and we can identify and know that right around us, we've seen most or all of this with folks around us. Hello. We've experienced this. Hello. And so we get to the point where we ask this question, what in the world is going on? God, what's going on? It's not supposed to be like this. And some people have even, to some degree, accused God and said, well, if God is so loving, how has he allowed all of this stuff to happen? Well, it's not God's fault. It is mankind's fault. We have the freedom of choice. We have the freedom to make our own choices. And the problem is that some people have started to love themselves more than God and said, I will be my own God. That's what's going on in the world. And so we get to the place where we're asking ourselves questions, and we got a series of questions that we ask. And so the first one is, what in the world is going on? That's the first question. What is going on? I'm confused because I see all this stuff on the news, and you can't even get good news because our basketball players aren't even playing well. And now baseball is coming in. Maybe we might not even get good news on that. And so we look at all the death, and then even when in the lighter stuff, we can't even enjoy that because most of the folks are on steroids. Hello. So we ask, what in the world is going on? And then the next question we ask is, has everyone in the world gone mad? And now because they didn't go mad, they driving me mad. So has everybody in the world gone mad? God, what is going on? And this is the process of our questions. Then it leads to, whose fault is it? Because if it's gone wrong, somebody is to blame. So now we want to point fingers. Whose fault is it? Who let this thing happen? And sometimes we'll get so mad, we'll get so crazy in ourselves that we'll even blame God on it. Can it be fixed? After we've identified or think we've identified what the problem is and whose fault is it and who dropped the ball, then we got to ask this question, because the whole problem, whole thing about it is our soul is looking for an answer. So we've got to narrow this thing down. We've got to investigate. Can it be fixed? Now, there's the thing. With all this stuff that's going on, with all the young people dying on the streets, with all the drugs that's being infested, and we know it got to be somebody in authority that's letting some of this stuff in. Hello. Hello. It ain't Pat. With all this technology we got and Homeland Security and everything, all of this stuff ain't sitting past everybody. Hello. Can it be fixed? And so we ask a question. Can this really be fixed? Or is it beyond hope? Then the next thing is, how, if it can be fixed, how can it be fixed? Then who's going to fix it? Hello? Come on. Come on. I'm glad you laugh, because really that's the real thing, because sometimes we want to know, can it be fixed? But do we really want to be the one? We want to appoint somebody. Hello? Hello? Can I just say this? I might have to edit it on the CD and on the web, but can I really say this? I think this is a good time for Obama to run, because things are so bad, even folks who don't want a black president want somebody. Come on. Hello. I'm not saying he's not qualified, but I'm saying some folks who really under other circumstances wouldn't have even thought about it. Things are so bad. They want to say, hey, we got to have somebody to. Now, if he fix it, we'll benefit. And if he falls, at least we got some black person to blame it on. Hello. So for some folks, it's a win-win situation. Hello. Who's going to fix it? Who wants to put their hands on this mess? Hello. Who can fix it? Yeah, I should have added that last one. See, who can fix it? Look. We must prescribe the right medicine. Because that's really what disease is. Disease is that something is not in its right place. Something is out of order. So then if we're going to treat a problem, we must prescribe the right medicine, right? It only makes sense. If a patient is going to get well, they must have more than just medicine. If you go into the doctor's office, and you got a problem, and the doctor just gives you aspirin, he's giving you medicine, or he's giving you some other medicine. He could give you the best high blood pressure medicine he has in his a cabinet. But if you're going in there because you got diabetes, hello? Nothing's wrong with the medicine. But that medicine, no matter how well it works, it won't help what you got. See, that's why the original question was about, we want an answer, but we don't need just any answer. So once again, the gun laws, they're good. They are an answer. But if you're looking for, well, there's so many people shooting young people out here. We need to have stiffer gun laws. Okay, that's good to have stiffer gun laws, but don't think that's the answer. Hello? We got teenage pregnancy. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. I mean, that's not good, but it's good to have an answer for that. It's good to have an answer for that. We need to have stricter classes on sex education. We need to have more condoms out. We need to have condoms where the children don't even have to tell their parents and all the rest of this. And then, oh God, we got too many unmarried children having children. So now we need need to make sure that we keep abortion so that some unwanted kids aren't out here. Now, those are answers. Not all of those answers are good answers. But they are answers. But that ain't the problem. Hello? That's not the real problem. So now, here's the thing. When you go into the doctor's office, what do? You go into the doctor. The doctor, after they say, hello, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a little bit. Or have you been doing since the last time I saw you? What do they usually ask you if you're not coming in there for a regular routine? You're coming in there. They ask you what's wrong. Right? And what do? You try to tell them everything that you know is wrong while you're in there, right? You must give all of the information. It is called you're giving the symptoms, right? There must be an examination of the symptoms. You must take all of the symptoms together, and then an accurate assessment of the disease can become the doctor has to then take all of the symptoms and say, okay, it sounds like this. And then for them to come to a correct assessment of what needs to be done. Sometimes that isn't always the case because it might be some other stuff you didn't know, they didn't know. And so sometimes they may prescribe the wrong medication only because they assumed it was one problem, but it was something else. Hello. Sometimes it ain't always the doctor's fault. And sometimes it ain't all our fault. But here's the thing. The land now is diseased. Remember? But in the Old Testament, it says that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, what? He said he would hear from heaven, he would forgive our sins, and he would heal the land. Isn't talking about just the agriculture. No, he's talking about the land, the people, the situation, the culture, everything that's going on. And so now we need to trust God, and we need to not just trust God by praying, Lord, do a change. Yeah, that's good. We do need to do that. We still need to keep on praying. But there's some other things that we need to understand as the church we need to do, because God wants us to prescribe the right medicine. See, everybody's being blamed for the mess. Remember in the question, what in the world is going on? Who's the blame? Right? We know it's a mess. So now who we gonna blame? When the kids are going crazy, who's the blame? The parents. Hello? Then the parents say, well, the teachers ain't teaching nothing in school. Or if you have a single parent, the single parent is usually blaming the absent parent. The absent parent is usually blaming the parent that's at home because they do it. And so the blame game goes all the way around. So who's to blame for this mess? See, just if you want to kill a tree, you don't kill a tree just because you cut off the branches. Hello? If you may cut off every apple, and you might not have any apples on the apple tree for this year if you cut off all the branches, because the apples don't have anywhere to come out, right? And so, but just cutting off the branches don't kill the tree. Even if you cut a tree down to the stump, it still don't kill the tree. Because you have new little small branches coming out the side. The problem now, and we're going to get to the church, but the overall problem now is that if we make cosmetic changes, things look like they're getting better. Hello? Come on. Let's take it a mile in diameter from here. You know. whole lot of drugs going on in the neighborhood, whole lot of stuff going on, whole lot of liquor store, whole lot of this, whole lot of that, whole lot of prostitution, all the rest of that, right? Well, we gonna clean up this neighborhood. So, what do you do? Tear down the projects. Well, that's one good thing. Tear down the projects. We got a whole lot of crime out the way because we tore down the projects. Okay, we got vacant lots. Okay. But on some of those vacant lots, now you got $400,000 homes. You get enough of those, the area has changed. Seemingly for the better. Right? So give it about 5 more years, if it's that much. You won't recognize the whole area, right? Lord help folks who've been in jail and they come back. Hello. They won't know where in the world. They won't know what. They'll wonder what planet they on. Hello. When they come back to their old stomping ground looking for Pookie. Hello. Looking for Moo Moo and them. Moo Moo and them. Moo Moo and them gone. Nowhere in the vicinity. Why? Because you can move the element out, but have you really made a change? Because the element has only moved to another place. It is a cosmetic change. And so this, and I just use that as an example because we can see it. Hello, we've been seeing it. But now here's the thing. Across the board, that's what's been going on. We've been seeing so much problem, seeing so much mess going on. It's easier to make cosmetic changes then really try to find out what is the real issue and make the real change. Because the real change, let me tell you something, and I'm speaking this by faith. I just said that. I'm speaking this by faith. The real issue is that the real answer is harder than most of us really want to deal with. Hello? I said, I speak this by faith because it sounds like that's not having faith. But actually, that is having faith, because when I look in the word of God, I actually see that. We want, and I don't want to move ahead of myself, but in the church, we have this thing now, and it's not nothing. It's not anything new, but it's more prevalent. We have this thing now where we want God to do a miracle for everything right now in 7 days. We want the change and the answer and everything to be done immediately. Now, it's not saying that God can't, but the whole thing is the problem that we see now didn't develop overnight. Hello? There was a certain way it developed, and then there's a certain way it needs to be healed. When we go to the doctor, let me tell you, when we go to the doctor, the prevalent thing in medicine now is all of these miracle drugs. What they do is they want to get us to believe that when we go to the doctor can give us something, and immediately they'll give us something, and within a few days, a couple of months or whatever of the medicine getting in our system, the whole thing that we're dealing with is gone. But that's really not mostly what's happening. What's happening is we have a whole lot of drugs that stop the symptoms. And a lot of things, let me just say it, a lot of stuff that we are dealing with is we're dealing with a lot of illnesses that are lifestyle consequences. Consequences of what we eat, how much we eat, how we live. We live fast-paced life. We got all this stuff. We got all this stress going on. We got all this stuff going on, but we don't want to change what we're doing, but we want to change the consequences that we're receiving. And so now we're calling that medicine. It's not really healing people. It is just stopping the pain, stopping the symptoms. And it's easier to stop the symptoms quickly. If we wanted to stop right now paying electricity, it's easy. Just shut off the lights. Hello. And I made that real simple because that's the easiest thing to do. If you shut off the source, you don't get it. There's still electricity coming in, but if you shut off the source, okay, you've stopped it, but you haven't stopped electricity. Now here's the thing. If I stop the symptoms, that's why my wife sometimes don't understand. I will sit sometimes and suffer with a headache. Because I know the headache is uncomfortable for me and it's miserable for a while, but I realize that the headache isn't the problem. The headache is just telling me there's something else wrong. So now if I just stop the headache, the thing is still going on. And me, I like to try to find out something. And so certain parts where your head hurts and somewhat tells you what area of your body is wrong. Hello. So it's certain things that when I get certain headaches, I know, okay, there's a sleep headache because it's here. And there's a hunger headache, okay, because it's here. And then I think, and so I try to rectify what the problem is. The headache don't immediately go away, but I realize the pain is only letting me know there's something wrong. So here's the thing. The world is even getting the church to get into to that mindset of the rehab. I was thinking about that. Rehab. I'm not talking about drug rehab. I'm talking about like home rehabs. You know. Nowadays, if you really want to sell a home, you put some rocks out in front. You put a new coat of paint on the wall. You fix a minor hole. Put some new furniture in. Nobody will know the plumbing is shot. Nobody will know that if they don't take you all the way into this room, that you don't realize that when you step on this one area, you sinking down a little bit. Hello. All they've done is put a new rug on the floor. They kind of walk you in here and walk you over this way. You see this over here? They keep you from that spot. And you won't know till you get in there that it looks like it's a brand new house, but it's shot. Let me tell you, by the time we've been in our home about 10 years, after this one project, maybe next year, we will almost have a whole new house, because once we started fixing one thing, we saw how many shortcuts the original builders made in the house. I'm like, how in the world? But it looked good. Now, here's the thing. The world wants us to move the projects because they didn't know how to stop the drugs. So now just get rid of the element. Make it look like we did something. Paint something. Hello. Put down a rock garden or something. Just let the problem not be seen. If it's not seen, if we can't see it, it looks like it's made a change. And we look like we've killed a tree and all we've done is just cut off the limbs. See, the mess is still a mess, but just with a new coat of paint. There is a reason for the calamity. There's a reason. Now, What's the reason? What's the reason? We talked about how all these different things in the last days, there should be truth breakers, high minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What's the reason? Well, Jeremiah tells us, if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah tells us what the real root of the problem is. Now, we know there are reasons. We know that we can trace some of those things, but every branch is leading to only one trunk. Hello. Every branch of this tree is leading to one trunk. There's only one trunk. Look. He says what in Jeremiah chapter 17? Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 and 10. He says what? The heart is deceitful above what? all things. The heart of who? Whose heart? Who are you talking about? Shoot, I'm a good person. Well, God says the heart, period. That means all of us. Hello. He's not talking about that we take care of our mama. Hello. We take care of our parents. We good. We cook a good meal for our kids and we take. He's not talking about all that. He's talking about underneath all of our good paint jobs. Hello. Cause y'all look good today. Y'all look good. Y'all must have known y'all was coming to church. Y'all look good today. Underneath all of our paint jobs, he knows that the root of all of us is our heart, and that our heart is deceitful above all things. Who we are and the limited goodness that we have is not really our own. It's only the grace of God. Hello. He wants us not to be fooled about that. You know, when we say, oh, I'm a good person. Okay. If we compare it to somebody else. But God is never comparing us with somebody else. He's always comparing us with himself. So he says, in comparison to my complete holiness, which is the standard by which every human being has ultimately have to stand before, he says, this is the estimation. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. That wicked does not really invoke right there wicked actions, but wicked in this case means it is very selfish. I've said it before and I'll say it again just in case there's some folks that haven't heard me say it before. If you really want to see what our hearts are really like, watch a baby. Watch a baby. I know we say, oh, they're innocent. They're so innocent. A baby is really not innocent, innocent, like we think innocent. Hello. I know he hold, is it not my, no, I'm not this baby. But I want you to see it this way. You can see the selfishness of the human heart because does a baby care that you haven't gotten any sleep for the last couple of weeks because they newborn? They don't care that you worked. When it's time for them to eat, they are hungry. They want to eat and they don't care what you're doing. Hello? Hello? And so he's saying it this way, that the human heart is basically selfish. And there's the problem. Because the human heart is basically selfish, we think about things that will benefit us. Sometimes we don't mean to hurt other people, but our selfishness causes other people pain. Thank you. One amen. One amen in the house. One brave soul in the house. Cause we all fall into this. Hello. So when Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things. So now when we look at what's going on in the world now, all across the board, every place we look, stuff is out of order. We can look and say, this is the problem. This is the problem. And to a certain degree, they are the problem, but those are just the branches. We haven't even got to the root. Just like I said, just because you cut the branches off the tree, it don't kill the tree. Just because you get people to do what's right don't really mean that they have become right. They just don't give us a problem in that area. So like I said, some of the individual things that we need to do to stop some of this craziness that's going on. Teenage pregnancy, guns killing, you know, young people killing young people, old people killing old people, all the rest of that stuff. All of those individual answers, they are good because we need to do something with what's going on right now. But the ultimate answer is not just those individual things. He says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I don't want to get stuck here on this slide, But here's the thing. You really don't know you. You don't know what you really capable of. Hello. Don't anybody, please. This is, I'm going to ask you right now. Do not say amen when I say this, and do not raise your hand when I say this, because I don't want anybody to be given away. I'm not going to raise my hand. But have you had in your lifetime a time when you can look back and you will look at something and that you've done and you know at some other point in your life, you would have said, I never would have did that. Oh, I forgot to say giggle. I forgot to say don't nobody giggle. Hello. At some point in time, we said, oh, I would never do that. Or it wouldn't even came into your mind. But then under certain circumstances, you found out you could do that. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that every prostitute, when they were being questioned by their teacher about what do you want to be when you grow up? Hello? Who put that down on their paper? I want to be walking up and down Lake Street. Well, no, Lake Street has changed. Lake Street ain't Lake Street. They reclaiming all that. Hello? Nobody said that. And so God is letting us know that the heart of every human being is at the root of it. We are all selfish. We want to do our own thing. And that we don't even know our own capabilities. That's why I said any goodness that we do have, anything that we do good, is not because we are really a good person. It's because of the grace of God. So he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. Means he tries the heart and he tries our emotions. Because sometimes our emotions will have us do something that our mind didn't want us to do. He says, I try your heart, who you really are. I'll try your emotions. He said, even to give every man according to his ways. That means what he ultimately does. And according to the fruit of his doings. Nobody ever gets away with anything. Like I said before, the reason why our society is in the way that it is now isn't because this stuff happened overnight. This is really just the consequences of a whole lot of actions that have been taken over several years. Oh, not just several years, over years time. He tells us what the problem is. God says that the problem is mankind's heart. Not man's heart, not woman's heart, not young people. Oh, the young people of today. The young people of today are no different than the old people of today who were young people of that day. Hello? The same stuff is going on now that was going on. It just is in a greater scale because there's more opportunities now than it was back then. Because everything that somebody doing now, somebody was doing it. Somebody. A lot of this stuff was going on now. A lot of folks would have been doing it a long time ago, but they ain't have young people having cars. Hello. Having cars they can just drive at any time. Hello. Didn't have that. Look, but that is the shocker, and I got to move on. People are not basically good. Hello. I know you've heard that. People are basically good. You just have to give them the right environment, the right stimulus, and the right creative outlets for. No. That's not what God says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's the problem. We have a sin nature from the moment that we are born. We have a sin nature and it will show up. The older we get, the more clever we become and letting our selfishness come out, the more we will show our sin nature. A baby don't really show their sin nature, and we call them innocent because they haven't had enough experience to fulfill their selfish desires. I'm going to say this and I'll move on. The worst person you ever want to deal with is a selfish person who is talented and intelligent and creative. Because if they don't have any restraints, they will use their creativity, their intelligence. The worst people in the world are geniuses that are selfish and just want to use their resources for themselves. Hello? Oh. Ooh. What is the answer? Is a new president the answer? Is getting our troops out of Iraq the answer? Is gun control the answer? Is getting drugs off the street the answer? Is closing down the liquor stores the answer? Is shutting down the porn sites the answer? Is shutting down sex trafficking rings the answer? They are individual answers to individual things, but none of those things is really the root problem to why things are as bad as they are. They're just symptoms. There's really no improvement without Christ. You cannot improve society by making more and more laws. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says that laws are really for the unrighteous. They're not for good people. They're for the unrighteous. Hello. So the more laws you make, the more the people that are breaking the laws are going to find ways around the laws that you just made. Because you haven't changed them. You just try to put up limitations to how crazy they can get. You haven't really changed them. That's why jail does not really rehabilitate people. Really, jail never was meant to be a place of rehabilitation. It was, see, we renamed some stuff, and I'm going to move on because I don't want to get past my CD. We renamed some stuff, painted stuff, new names, and all the rest of that to make it sound better. The original name of one of the original names of prison is called penal institution. What does penal institution mean? It really means penalty. It is meant to be a punishment because you did something wrong. So if we think that building bigger jails is really going to rehabilitate people, it doesn't, because it was never designed to do that. It was meant to tell people, hey, if you do something wrong, you get punished. Here's the problem. When we think that temporary solutions are the answer, we create more problems. There's really no improvement without Christ. Because what's the problem? The problem is the human heart. The condition of the world, we already talked about, the condition that we're in now, it didn't come overnight. Slowly, mankind's heart became less and less dependent on God. See, I like talking practical stuff. Evangelist, if I see you do something, I may want to do it, but I'm too scared to do it. But if I see you do it and you get away with it, what does that do? That now makes me feel a little bit more confident to think about, let me see what. Then if I see her do it again and she get away, I'm going to ask, so what's your secret? Now, from the outside, it looked like I was a goody two shoes. But really, I wanted to do the same thing that the street runner was doing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm telling on myself. Hello. While I'm in church, I'm playing, never missed the church. Never thought there were some things that I really wanted to do, but was just too scared. I just thought it was my Christian upbringing. But once I got old enough and I got keys and some money in my pocket, I found out I wasn't as good as folks in the church said I was. And I found out it was some stuff that I was capable of doing that shocked me. And sometimes when I go back in my mind, it shocks me even now. But I ain't going to tell y'all about that stuff. I ain't going to tell you about that. I ain't going to tell you about that stuff. We're going to put that in the closet. Kick the door. Put the chair. Put the chair underneath the handle just in case it wants to jump out. But here's the thing. We slowly start moving towards our sinful nature when it looks like God is not judging right away. See, God does not shoot down lightning as soon as we do something wrong. Hello? He don't clobber us and throw us into burning hell when we do what we do. Immediately. But over time, the grace of God and the mercy of God, sometimes we don't use it for what it's supposed to be. It says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Because God didn't punish us when we did what we did, it should have said, you know what? I really messed up, but God is so good. He didn't really do that. I need to get back right. We don't usually do that. We look and say, "Ooh, I got away with that." Hello? We go and we start tipping and then we go into a full out run. And that's what our society has gotten into. Because stuff has not gone wrong immediately, now everything is in a full out run. Running to sin. Because it feels good. Don't let anybody tell you sin don't feel good. I ain't gonna be a preacher that will tell you sin don't feel good. The consequences of sin don't feel good. Let's get this right. Let's get this right. The consequences of sin don't feel good, but sin itself, hey now. Because here's the thing, we would not get caught up in it if it didn't appeal to us. That is what, hello, I'm sorry, I'm about to break this down. That's what temptation means. It's something that draws you in because it's some benefit you think or we think we're going to get from it. So now we slowly move away from God, doing our own thing. The imaginations of the heart were wicked and we were allowed to wander. This is the result of man's rebellion. But here's the thing. Christ is the only answer for the heart. Now, how? How is it? And what do we need to do? Because we need to bring this in to church. We can talk all day long about what the world ain't doing, what the world doing, what the world doing, what the world doing. What's the church doing? And I'm not talking about individual churches. I'm talking about the church. What is our responsibility? Church has gone astray. We must realize that all of us come from the world. I don't care if we raised up in the church. We still actually come from the world. We are influenced by the world. And so the problem is the church is full of ex-addicts. Still got a little bit of recovery going on. We all in recovery. Hello, my name is Dwayne Cook. Hello, Dwayne Cook. I've got a problem. That's all that's going on when we come to church. We act like we got it together. We act like we've been had it together. But really the problem is we forget we're really still all in recovery. And so the church has gone astray because now we're starting to act like the world, not in the type of music, you know, not the way that, you know, folks normally talk about the world. I'm talking about in our ideologies, how we even approach the Bible about what the problem is and how to answer it. And so now we got, I just came up with a couple of them. There was numerous. I, for the sake of time, I only had to come up with a couple of them. You got to keep me on time. Okay. No, I'm not going to need 30 minutes. The church has gone astray. But look, we've gone the way of the world because in our mindset and how we think about church, and I'm talking about inside the church, we're starting to think about the church the same way the world thinks about itself and the way the world operates. So now you get in church. And now here's the thing. We need to be real because the world sees it. And if we really want to be honest, we see it too. We just, a lot of times, just don't say nothing. I mean, we don't say nothing when we're in church. We say it when we get home. But look, the church has become spiritual Hollywood. What do you mean? Because with church being able to have multimedia CDs and websites and TV programs and cable, all the rest of that, the church is able to get the word out in a greater way. But at the same time, the potential for other problems are far more available to us. Because remember, even saved folks have this same deceitful heart. Hello? Yeah. Christ came into our heart. He has changed us in our spirit, but we still didn't get rid of that sinful heart that wants to pull us the other way at the same time. Hello? This is why we can be saved on one day and then something that we still trying to recover from happen to pop up the next day. It don't always mean it's hypocritical, but it means that we still have that pull in us of that deceitful heart, and it will deceive us if we let it, and we will think we can still be in sin and Christianize it. Hello. So now you get the church has this Hollywood mentality. I've said it before, but it, you know, see, you do know that the world has the red carpets and the A-listers and the B-listers. And then to a certain degree now, you got in the church world, you got the A-listers. Hello. You got the A-listers. You got the B-listers on down. Hello. We rank, and I'm not talking about everybody in church, but this attitude has seeped into the church. Now, I'm saying this because we are supposed to have the answer for the world's problems, right? But how can we give the right answer if we caught up in the same type of garbage? Where a lot of times, if people look like they have a thriving ministry, they will be more received than anybody else. Why? Because if they have something on TV, even if they ain't saying nothing, they on TV. I had so many people to ask, well, so-and-so and so, what do you think about them? I usually don't like to talk about folks. So if somebody asks me, I'll be, well, they on TV. They on radio. They let anybody on radio. You pay that check every month. They ain't listening to your tapes. I mean, you know, you paid on time. All right. You say you who ministry? Jack in the Box ministry. All right. Hello. And so the church can't always give the right answer if the church is caught up in being an A-lister or trying to be an A-lister. Hello. Some ministries run their people in the ground trying to be on the A-list. Hello? Run the people crazy, asking for more money because they trying to become A-listers. Hello? and walk the red carpet. You can walk the red carpet if you got a right title. You ain't nobody till you get there. Hello. Then we get the spiritual Wall Street, where we can't really deal with the real problem of the society because we got to preach on how you are going to get financially rich. Because now if you get financially rich, you got the tithe. So now we can't deal with the problem on the outside because now we're always constantly preaching about how you can get more money even when you're in a recession. Let me tell you something. When recession comes, it's going to be some Christians that hit recession. See, I'm going to talk just like the president's talking. We're not in a recession. God has not limited bad stuff or bad actions or bad things happening to only sinful folks. Christians get in car accidents. Hello. Hello. Christians get hurt. Stuff happens. Folks pass away that you love. Stuff happens. We're not exempt. But, you know, we then go down to the church can't get the right answer on the outside because church becomes a spiritual lotto. Now, I know you like, what in the world are you talking about spiritual lotto? I got to go to church. I got to hurry up and get to church. Not necessarily to get a word, but is it going to be my turn to get a blessing today? Is pastor going to touch me today? Am I going to fall out today? Is my number going to come up? The spiritual lotto. Give me 5 quick picks. 50-50 on 4-1-2. 3 straight days. Now, I've never played, but I used to work. Hello, before y'all said, he know all the lingo. I'm faster. Oh, we know. No, I used to work. I used to work. But we come to church sometimes looking for the spiritual lotto. Is this going to be my day? And if we don't get touched, if our number didn't come up, we leave out just like when we go to check our numbers. Yeah, I ain't hit the number. Come out of church. I ain't get nothing today. Because pastor didn't speak a prophetic word to me. And so how can we give the right answer to the world when we caught up in some of the same stuff, we just spiritualize it. Then we get to church with the spiritual smorgasbord where now we have no clear cut agenda. We just want to come to church and provide everything. Whatever anybody wants, we want to try to get folks in. It don't matter if they say, we just want to get them in by providing everything. Well, you know, there are some churches that can do that. But why have 20 ministries and you got 21 folks in the church? Y'all missed that one. You missed that. So that means it's only one person who getting any sleep. Hello. 20 ministries and 21 folks. So that on your website, you can have all, we do all these ministries. You got it. You got at least 10 of those folks with 15 hats in their back pockets. Right. Town sheriff. I'm the town sheriff. I'm the mayor. I'm the gas pump attendant. Judge. Hello. And then you get the church spiritual gossip column. Oh, what do I mean by that? I mean, the church sometimes is no longer a place where, and I'm not talking about every place. I'm just saying that these are things that we can see and identify, which hinders the church at large from giving the right answer. We get caught up in sometimes in church bringing out the flaws of other ministers and other ministries so that we can appear to be the only ones right. So we got to tear down the Baptist group because we the only church of God in Christ that's right. Hello. Hello. And so we become the gossip column. Hello. We become the us, and all the rest of those crazy things. And so how can we get the right answer? Well, we gotta remind the people. Not everybody's gonna hear it. And it's not for the church to force folks to do right, because you can't do right. You can't force folks to do right. You can force if you have the right resources, you can almost force somebody to look like they right. I was wondering how I was gonna say that. Yeah. You know, you can intimidate. You can scare some folks. You know, you can bribe some folks into sometimes looking like they right. But remember, it's a heart issue. But look, we need to remember, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation. That's the real thing. Because we've forgotten the God of our salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shall thou plant pleasant plants and shall set it by with strange slips. In the day thou shalt make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Now you say, what? Okay, I was following you with the first part. I'm going to make this real quick. Here's what the church has failed to do, because we've gotten caught up. And when I say we, once again, I'm talking about the church at large. We fail to remember God is our strength. And so then, if we forget that, because we're so happy and we're just so content with just having church, we then don't let the world know. And so what has happened is we've lost our power to a certain degree, or influence, because we've now taken the good plants. This is what he's talking about. He was saying they were taking good plants, which would have produced good fruit. But when they put it in the ground, they put it in the ground right next to weeds. With strange slips. Well, I'm not going to give you all the things that it's really talking about, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. You weren't planted in places and with things that were going to flourish and plant all one crop. They put the crop down and put it next to something else that was going to take away from the crop that you really wanted. And so when it came up, it looked like it was going to come up with, it had a lot of stuff, grew up real fast, bloomed real fast. Hey, we're really doing something. I now have a whole mindset about when folks talk about, ooh, this ministry is jumping off. Ooh, we just got 10,000 members and we only been open 3 years. Yeah, there's a problem there. Because everything that gets big is not healthy. It's the difference in growth and swelling. Swelling means there's an infection. Growth means there's some change, there's some mind change, there's some heart change, and mind change and heart change don't happen overnight. It don't. I'm not against big or small, not, but I'm just saying sometimes we identify things incorrectly because we look at it from the outside. So he says, you're planting the good fruit or the good seeds, but you plant it in the wrong place next to the wrong stuff, and it's pulling. And so he says, but when the harvest come, there should be a heap. You're going to have a whole bunch of mess that you can't even use. Hasn't that been where the church is now? There's a lot of problems, but the problem is a lot of folks ain't really coming to the church for the answer no more. Because they see that the church got the same problems as the world do. Church folks, kids is on drugs. Church folks getting divorced. Church folks, and I'm not saying that any of those things we should internalize, but what I'm saying is that some of what is going on is because we've been negligent of what we should have done. I'm not talking about all the cases. Is everybody's fault? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the world is saying the church ain't doing no better than we are. And so then if we can't show them that something is different, maybe it's because we've missed the central message. Because we've been trying to be like everything else, and we've been having the right seed, but trying to have the right seed in the midst of everything else that's from the world or world's ideas. I'm not talking about world stuff, but world's ideas, trying to get people in the church by providing things that entertain them. But that's how Hollywood does. Hello? They get you to come to a bad movie by bringing the best parts out of the movie, which is usually the only best parts in the movie, and show it on a trailer. And when you get there, you're like, I done wasted $20 on this because I bought some popcorn and everything else. Hello? Because we've been putting stuff alongside. I don't really, and I got to say this, and then when I say this, I really got to move on and quit. I don't really preach long messages just because I like to talk. So now I got to finish this, right? Okay. Okay, I got it. See, I got to quit it. I got 8 minutes. But I try to keep myself focused that the central purpose of church is giving the word of God so people's lives can change, not because I laid hands on them today, but your life changes by the transformation of your mind by the word of God. How can your mind and heart be changed if you're only dancing and singing and I give a 10-minute homily that only touches not even the surface, just the tip of your hair of your problems. Hello. Believe me, it's been times when I've been tempted to do some stuff differently because I know certain entertainment stuff would probably draw more people. Believe me, I've in these, 12 years? 12 years I've been tempted. Lord, I've been tempted. I've been tempted to put on some tap dance shoes. I've been tempted to put some mats down here and do some backflips for y'all and say, "Ooh, our pastor been doing backflips." I've been tempted. But I got to remember that stuff don't change people's hearts. And it's when people's hearts get changed that then you can then act out the changed heart and then tell somebody else about the change that they can make because it's about the heart changing. Do I need to? Let me see. Maybe I'll give that one on the next time. I got to cut through some of this. Well, yeah. Since I only got 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 5 minutes now. Here's the whole thing, actually. Here's the whole thing. The church must deal with the heart. We must deal with our own heart, realizing that we're not all together ourselves first. Realizing that at any moment, if we're not careful, some stuff that we've been delivered from will jump on our back. Throw on the spurs and we off galloping. And it don't mean that we did not have a relationship with the Lord. It did not mean that we were really wanted to change. But if we don't keep focus that Jesus is the only one that changes the heart and keeps the heart, we can get caught up. And so this is what we must realize, that the church must deal with the heart, that Jesus said himself, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are that are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands did not defile anyone. Just because you get somebody to do something right don't mean that they're not planning a breakout of your prison. If their heart don't change, they just plotting and scraping away and tunneling underneath the wall. It's got to be the heart. And the heart only changes many times over a period of time. Now, that don't sound too encouraging. But here's the thing. God wants us to change. God wants the one that you want to change more than you want them to change. Hello, somebody. Because God loves them more than you love them. Most times we want somebody to change only because they're getting on our last cotton picking nerve. Not always just because we want the best for their lives. No matter how much I want you all to change, God wants you to change more than I want you to change. Because no matter how much I love you, I cannot say that it's a bit of selfishness why I want you to change. Because if you look good, it makes me look good. But see, God himself has no ulterior motives. Hello. Because I don't care how righteous I can say I am, there's a part of me that if you do something wrong and somebody says, well, they go to Refuge and Strength, I'm going to be, well, why you have to say that? But see, God wants the heart to change. And so really the whole point is there's only one answer, Jesus. I got 3 minutes, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. There's only one answer. The answer is Jesus. That is the only answer. Not just come to church, not just go through the sinner's prayer, not just go through what is said, but Jesus is the only one that can change the heart, because the preaching of the cross to those that are perishing is foolish. It don't make sense. I've heard people, and I got to say this, and then I'm going to quit. I had somebody tell me something, and I'm sorry, I lost it one day. I got to say this real quick. I lost it one day. Somebody said, asked me the question about some things that, you know, that Jeremiah Wright has said and everything. And I, you know, gave my opinion and everything. And so he said, well, see, the church needs to start doing more in the neighborhoods. Church needs to start doing. I said, well, okay. But I got a problem with that when people who don't even go to church is saying what the church is supposed to be doing. That's just like I'm a mailman and now somebody pulls up who works for CTA, opens up the door and says, hey, you ought to be doing so and so because you're a man. You don't know what in the world I'm supposed to be doing. You didn't hire me. The world didn't hire the church. God hired the church. God is called the church. So now the church has been allowing the world to tell us what we ought to do. And now we're doing it. We're holding community meetings. We hold in community meetings when we should be having deliverance services. Hello. We having all of these extra things that don't even deal with the heart, just dealing with the outside stuff, all because the world said this is what we ought to do, because the world is scared of Jesus. But we need to get back to the central message that Jesus is the only one that can change the heart. Stand to your feet. I'm out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the only one that can change hearts, God. You are the only one that then, once you change our hearts, Lord, you change our minds, God, to see things differently. And then when we see things differently, Lord, that's when then we will act out the change that you've done. But God, we can't even do it on our own, God. It is only you and you holding us that it even gives us the ability to make a change, God. And once we have changed, God, then somebody will be able to see the change and the light that's on us. And then they will become running saying, what do I need to do to have this change? Not just what do I need to do to get out of this problem, but I see a change that's deeper than just a whitewash on your life. Something more than just fixing up a wall on the house, but the plumbing is still bad. God, you want to totally do an extreme makeover in our lives, God. And then the church can show the world how to stop the violence, God. Lord, all of these things that we're doing are good, but Lord, they're not the answer. They're not the root answer, God, because men's hearts need to be changed. And the only one that can change it is not any type of religion, God, but it is you that changes the heart, because a heart that is open to you, Lord, you will come in. And you said, Lord, that if we open up the door, you'll come in and you'll sup with us. You'll abide with us, oh God. And that you, it's only when you are on the inside of us, God, that then we can really change. It's not by any rules on the outside, but God is the change on the inside. Lord, and that as that change is allowed to come and permeate to the outside, God, then we are moved in a different way. And then we slowly.